Chapter 8. Bonacera Owes a Favor. It was nearly 10 o'clock at night when the kitchen phone rang in Don Corleone's house. It was answered by one of the Don's bodyguards, just as Sonny came into the kitchen. The bodyguard listened for a few seconds, then handed him the phone. It was Connie, and she was so upset and afraid of her husband and what Sonny might do to him that she could hardly speak.
"Sonny, just send a car to bring me home," she cried. "I'll tell you what Carlo did then. It's nothing, Sonny, don't you come. It's nothing, I just want to come home."
By this time, Hagen had entered the room. He watched the blood rush into Sonny's neck and fury fill his eyes. But Sonny's voice stayed low and controlled as he said, "You wait there. You just wait there." Then he put down the phone. "That bastard Carlo's been hitting her again. That bastard!" Sonny shouted. Then he rushed out of the house and jumped into his car. Hagen knew from the look on Sonny's face that all sense had left him. At this moment, Sonny could do anything.
"Go after him," Hagen said to the bodyguards.
Then he went to the phone and arranged for some men to pull Carlo Rizzi out of the apartment. Other men would stay with Connie until Sonny arrived there. Hagen was not worried about the families doing anything to Sonny. They had been quiet for a while. But he was worried that Sonny might kill Carlo and someone would see him do it. Sonny noticed the two bodyguards behind him as he sped out of the mall, and he approved of Hagen's decision. He was going to stop this thing once and for all, Sonny thought, as he headed toward New York. He decided to take the Jones Beach Causeway because it was always quiet at this time of night, and he was right. There was not a single car. Slowly, the night and the drive began to calm him until, far ahead, he saw the toll booth and began to slow. At the same time, he searched his pockets for money. He handed a dollar bill to the toll booth man and waited for his change, noticing that a car had stopped in front of him. Suddenly, two men got out of the car and came toward him. Then, from the corner of his eye, Sonny noticed the toll booth man drop down in the booth, out of sight. At that moment, Sonny Corleone knew he was a dead man. Before the Corleone family bodyguards had driven up behind Sonny, the toll booth man reappeared and shot Sonny in the head and neck. As Sonny's huge body came out of the car, the two men in front pulled out their guns and stopped him from shooting back. They fired more shots into his body. Then they kicked him hard in the face again and again. Seconds later, all three men got into their car and headed away. The bodyguards were unable to follow them as they were blocked by Sonny's car and body. When they saw him lying there, they turned their car around and returned to Long Beach. Hagen took the call from the bodyguards as Mrs. Corleone moved around him, making some food for her daughter when she arrived. Hagen's voice stayed perfectly calm.
"Go to Clemenza's house and tell him to come here right away," he told the bodyguards.
Then, saying nothing to Mrs. Corleone, who continued to move busily around the kitchen, he went to the library. His body was starting to shake so much that he had to sit down with his legs pressed together. The families had tricked him. He was, he knew now, not suited to be a conciliary for a family at war. But more than that, Sonny had been his true brother, who had taken him in when he was a boy on the streets. Under it all, Sonny had a kind heart and had always treated Hagen with love. That life had made Sonny grow into a violent and bloody man did not matter. A few minutes passed, then Hagen got control of himself again. He picked up the phone and called Connie's number. Carlo Rizzi answered the phone in a drunk voice.
"Listen, Carlo," Hagen said. "I want you to tell Connie that the family has decided to move you both to one of the houses on the mall and to give you a better job. Have you got that?"
"Okay,"
Carlo replied hopefully.
"They killed Sonny tonight. Don't say anything to Connie. She called him and he was on his way over to you. I don't want her to blame herself. I want you to stay with her tonight and not tell her anything. I want you to be nice to her and stay that way until she has the baby at least. In the morning, maybe the dawn, maybe her mother will tell Connie that her brother got killed. And I want you by her side. Do me this favor, and I'll take care of you in the future. You got that?"
Hagen put down the phone. He knew that Carlo had got the message. He was a hair away from death. Hagen then went to get himself a drink. He knew he had to prepare himself for the next hour, the terrible news that he would have to deliver. As he took down a glass and bottle, he heard the door to the room close softly. Then, Hagen turned and saw, fully dressed for the first time since he had been shot, Don Corleone. The Don walked across the room to his huge leather armchair and sat down. He walked a little stiffly, and his clothes hung from his body. But to Hagen's eyes, he looked the same.
"My wife is crying, and outside of my window, I saw my capo regimes coming to the house. So, my consigliere, I think you should tell your Don what everyone knows."
Hagen realized that Mama Corleone must have heard his quiet orders on the telephone and guessed that her son was dead.
"They shot Sonny on the causeway," Hagen said. "He's dead."
The Don closed his eyes, and for a moment his pain was clear on his face. But he quickly recovered and, as Clemenza and Tessio joined them, listened while Hagen told them everything that had happened. Don Corleone said quietly,
"None of you will do anything to take revenge for this unless I say so. There will be no more acts of war against the five families. We will stop all business operations until after my son's funeral. Then we will meet here again and decide what must be done."
Amerigo Bonasera had just finished his dinner when the telephone rang and a voice said,
"This is Tom Hagen. I'm calling for Don Corleone."
Bonasera felt a bit sick. It was more than a year since he had asked the Don a favor to get revenge for his injured daughter, and he had begun to hope he would never have to pay it back. His voice shook as he answered,
"Yes, I understand. I'm listening."
An hour later, he was wearing a suit and waiting at the lit office of his funeral parlor when an ambulance drove into the narrow driveway. Clemenza appeared in the doorway of the ambulance, followed by two men carrying a body covered in a blanket. They carried it carefully into the parlor. Then, another man stepped quietly out from the darkness and entered his office.
"Well, old friend. Are you ready to do me this service?
Don Corleone said. Bonacera nodded. What do you wish me to do? He followed the Don into the parlor, where the body now lay on a table.
I want you to use all your skill,
the Don said, pulling the blanket back.
I do not want his mother to see him how he is when he is lying in his coffin.
Despite all Bonacera's experience, his mouth dropped open with horror. On the table was the broken, kicked face of Sonny Corleone.